what's going on. Parsh Buchu Kosai, Tavshin Ayin Dalet, Parakov Vav, Pasuk Mem Beis. You should have it on the top of your sheet. It says, Vizacharti es Brisi Yaakov. I will remember, or I remembered the Bris of Yaakov, Afis Brisi Yitzchak, Afis Brisi Avram, Eskov, or Eskov. I remember Yitzchak, I remember Avram. I remember everything about all the Avos. Now, Yaakov is spelled here with a Vav. Yaakov is spelled Mole, meaning Yud Ayin Kuf Vav Beis. That's how it's spelled over here. Now, the only other time that Yaakov is spelled with a Vav, it's really spelled this way five different times, is in Yirmiah. There are four times in Yirmiah where it's spelled this way. The fifth one is right over here. Now, that extra Vav corresponds, says Rashi, to the five different places where Eliyahu is spelled without a Vav. We take away the Vav from Eliyahu. So if you look down at Eliyahu, it's in Melachim Beis, in Perek Aleph, in those first four Psukim, that's where you see it, as well as the famous one in Malachi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel. The one in Malachi is the famous one of Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem, it's Eliyahu Anavi. It's not Eliyahu Anavi, it's Eliyah Anavi. The Vav is missing in those five different places. The pshat is that Yaakov took a Vav from Eliyahu's name. Yaakov took it as a pledge that he would eventually come and be Mavasser for his children, the Mashiach is coming. That he should be the Mavasser, he should be the one telling the good news. That's what's going to be. Now, where does Rashi get this from? So it stems from a Midrash Chaserus V'Yaseris. It's brought down by the Torah Shlema. Torah Shlema says it may be mentioned in the Zohar, but I didn't check the Zohar itself. He brings four different places where it could be. It's around there and things like that. Regardless, it's brought down in this Midrash called the Midrash Chaserus V'Yaseris. Over there, it does bring another reason why it's got a vav, because his mito was Shalem. He had no psolus from it. But he says the following. He says, the reason why it's in five different places, and not just one, because you would have gotten it if you would just say it in one place, and say that Yaakov is with one vav, and Eliyahu is missing one vav in one place, is because we're representing the four exiles, the four times that Bnei Yisrael were put into Gullus, and the fifth one for the Malchus of the Mashiach. That Malchus, you could go from the beginning, Malchus Bavel, Malchus Paros Modai, Malchus Yavon, Malchus Edom, and finally Malchus of the Mashiach. Those are the five times that we're saying, and by that time Eliyahu Navi comes, that he's going to bring about that type of Malchus. Now the Mizrahi asked this exact same question. Why five different times? Why not one? The Mizrahi says, it could be that it represents the Torah itself. That the Torah, the five books of Moses, so to speak, is represented by these five times. We see this elsewhere, where Bnei Yisrael is written five times in a pasuk to represent the five books of Torah, etc. And the point is that Yaakov is making Eliyahu Navi swear on the Torah, make a shvua deal raisa, that he is going to come to Klal Yisrael. And that's the shvua that he's making. He made him swear that he was going to come, and that was going to be it. You have to come take us out. Now the Bar Abbas said this, is it a little bit differently. He also says it's the Torah, but he says that it's through the schus of the Torah that we get saved. Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, the pasuk says, and then Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem et Eliyahu Navi. That the only way for Eliyahu Navi to come is if you learn the Torah, and that's when he's going to be able to come, and that's why it's mentioned five times altogether. But the Gur Aryeh doesn't like that reason. The Gur Aryeh doesn't like that at all. He says, listen, if the letter was taken as a pledge, you wouldn't need a shvua. If there's a shvua, then you don't need the pledge. You don't need to take the letter at all. So it's either or. Either swear Eliyahu Navi to come, or take the pledge of grabbing that vav away, but you can't do both. There's no point in doing both. So he says an unbelievable thing. He says that when a person gives a pledge to another person, meaning he promises that what he's going to do, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $1,000. So he goes and he puts his hand out. The guy takes his hand, clasps his hand, and they shake on it. They shake on it. Says, such a classic Gur Aryeh. Says the Gur Aryeh, what Eliyahu Navi did with Yaakov Avinu is that he promised he would come and he would save the Jews. And he shook on it with Yaakov Avinu. And he gave him his hand with five fingers on it. Now the fingers, the hand that person has 30 limbs in it, according to a Mishnah in Olos. 30 limbs all together inside your hand with the different bones and sinews, etc. Everything all together is 30. 5 times 6 is 30. So we take away the vav 5 times, 6 times 5 equal 30, to represent or to show us that that's what Eliyahu Navi was promising. He was promising by giving him a handshake, by saying that I'm not going to come back. Taylor Derek really says it's not a question in the first place. The Shmuel was the Aravim, meaning he swore that he would give him a pledge and something like that. They're not separate things, so he didn't like the question of the Gur Aryeh in the first place, but that's that. Why the Vav? Why the Vav over any other letter? Why would that be? So already said the Gur Aryeh. The Gur Aryeh already said that it was because that was the Shmuel taking on it, and that was the vav that was supposed to be used. Sifsei Chachamim says we wanted to keep his name as Yaakov, and if you use any other letter, then it'll change the name of Yaakov. It'll be Yaakovel or something. If you took the lamed away, if you took the yud away, it will change it. I don't quite get that answer, because you might as well take the aleph. I mean, if you spell it yud ayin kuf aleph vez, it should be the same thing as yud ayin kuf vav vez. So it doesn't really answer the question, why are you taking the vav instead of the aleph? I don't really get that so much. The yud, in theory, would be the exact same thing. If you wanted to really say it, you could do Yaakov and put the yud somewhere, make a double yud. Yud, yud, ayin kuf vez. Maybe you could do something like that. But either way, that's what Sifte Chachamim says. But then comes the Maskil Zavid, and now we're going to get into the little bits and pieces. So he brings down a Zohar. Every other geula that Bnei Yisrael were in, Bnei Yisrael were able to get themselves out of that geula. So I'm not so sure I get this fully, but let's try to understand that. Mitzrayim, although God gave the Makos, Bnei Yisrael left on their own. Bnei Yisrael were told by Moshe Rabbeinu to leave, and they got up and they left. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't pull them out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do anything for them. They left Mitzrayim and went out of that geula on their own, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do Makos before and Kriyas Yam Suf afterward, they left on their own. So that's how I understand Golas Mitzrayim. Golas Bavel, anybody who's done Navi knows, Nehemiah and Ezra just got up and left. Ezra got up and left, then Nehemiah got up and left. They were allowed to on their own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not directly involved in sending them out of Golas Bavel. The way Golas Bavel ended was really by Bnei Yisrael doing things on their own. That's what they did. Paras and Madai, I guess you can say, is connected to Bavel. They're all together, because really when Nehemiah and Ezra left, it was by Paras and Madai. Bavel sort of ended and Paras and Madai started. So I don't know if that's any different. Yavan, Bnei Yisrael did it seemingly on their own, obviously through the Chashmonaim, but it wasn't through a direct miracle from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. It was them leaving on their own. And finally, I mean, we have Edom. The Edom one, our Golas that we're in right now, the only way we're going to leave it, says the Maskil David based on that Zohar, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and does crazy miracles and sends Bnei Yisrael out. It can't happen on our own. That we can't do it on our own. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be directly involved for us to happen. That we can't just knock down, so to speak, the dome of the, you know, the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and build up our own third base of Mikdash, and then automatically just live there and everything's there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be involved, and if it's not directly involved through a Nes Nigla, then it's not the Golos, it's not the end of the Golos. And that's the line that we say in the Navi, Nafla, Lo Susit Kum B'Sulas Yisrael. Once you fall, you're not going to be able to get up. And that's what we're representing over here. The Vav and the He, that are the last parts of Hashem's name, Yud, then a He, then a Vav, then a He. The Vav stands for the Shechina, all the way up above. The He stands for Klal Yisrael gathering together. The only way that Klal Yisrael can gather together and get together, says this Maskil L'David, is to be able to have the Shechina together with us. Only when that happens will you be able to make it happen. So when Eliyahu HaNavi comes back, the sign is through the Vav, He times. The Vav, five times given over to Yaakov, again, to represent this idea of Vav and He, which represents the last two letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. The Be'er Vasetta says it's so much easier. The Vav stands for the 6,000th year. That by that year we're supposed to have the Geula. That the Geula has to happen by that date. So the Vav represents that. And thus, the reason why it's a Vav and not any other letter is to show that Mashiach will come before that 6,000th year. That's supposed to be it. Tzedel HaDerech says a very similar answer to the Zohar. Kiyad al kes yah, we say by Amalek. The hand of Amalek is on the throne of God. We say al kes yah, yud hey. We don't mention the vav hey, because until Amalek is eradicated, the full name of God will not be used. There will be no vav hey of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so we're missing that vav and the hey. The only way to get it back is when Amalek's there. Thus, at the end of time, that vav and the hey will come back. And again, that's represented by Eliyahu HaNavi giving that vav five times over to Yaakov. That's the concept, says the Tzedel HaDerech. The Rebbe Bachai is Master Mekobel. I didn't understand a word, so I can't help you with this. I have random scratches over here. Chicken scratches is basically what you'd call it, of little excerpts of what he and Shach put together over here. I suggest that if you really want to look at it, there's Ramban who says Al Derech Hasod, and then the Rabbeinu Bachai that tries to explain it, as well as a Shach Al Torah that goes through. All I can tell you is the very end of that line that Yaakov stands for, Yud Ayin Kuf Beis, is Yaakov Olam Kayim Be'emes. That he is able to be Mekayim the world through truth, and thus Yaakov represents the Vav, and that Vav is specifically given to him to represent the Gula. But I don't understand how or what that works. Now, what's the point of this medrash? What's the point in saying that a Vav was given over to Yaakov from Eliyahu HaNavi? Why is that so important? What's the medrash trying to tell us over here? So I have three answers to that. The Gura Ayi says that the whole point of Eliyahu HaNavi's existence, he should not exist except for one thing, to be mevaser to us, to tell us when the Gula is going to come. He had a big job in this world in the beginning, at the end of Malach HaMalach, in the beginning of Malach HaBeis, where he does crazy miracles, where he teaches Elisha. He's part of our Mesorah. If you go through the list of the Mesorah, Eliyahu HaNavi is in there. Eliyahu HaNavi is part of our Mesorah, giving over teachings to Klal Yisrael. There's no question Eliyahu HaNavi played a prominent role, especially in the kingdom of the Yisraelim, when everything was going haywire. He was a main Navi who showed the Jews how everything should have been done. There's no question about that, but his job is not complete. His job could not be complete until it's time for Mashiach to come. So we show that by saying, let's take away the Vav. Eliyahu Navi is not there. He's missing something. He's not fully done until he gets that Vav. When does he get that Vav? When Mashiach comes at the end of times, that Yaakov took it away. Why Yaakov? Because Yaakov is the one that is the father of all of Israel. It's not Sam that we're called B'nai Yisrael. It's Yaakov Avinu that's known that way. So B'nai Yisrael, so to speak, are taking on that Vav and not giving it back to Eliyahu until he's ready to complete his mission, which is to tell us when Mashiach is going to be there. And that's how the Gura Ayi learns it. The Maharal, he understands it in that vein. That's the reason why we have it over there. Now, Reb Schwab says a very, very different reason, and it's an awesome type of idea. We've been through this Ramban before, but it was about 3 years ago. The Ramban says that there are miracles that are not mentioned in the Torah at all. For example, the Kibshana Esh doesn't even have a hint to what happened with Avraham Avinu being thrown into the fire and being saved. I mean, that's ridiculous. That is an unbelievable miracle that happened in front of 100,000 people. You'd think that if any miracle were mentioned, that would be an awesome one to put in. We have nothing about it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have a possibility of it being mentioned by the word Ur Kasdim, because he was leaving Ur Kasdim. And thus we say from there, oh, what was Ur Kasdim? It was the fire of Kasdian. The Kasdians threw him in the fire and he was saved out of the fire, and that's it. It's all we have. Nothing else. Why isn't it mentioned, says the Ramban. Ramban goes on and he says, Sari Menu gave birth to a kid at the age of 90. And everybody goes crazy. What an unbelievable miracle. How could a woman at the age of 90 give birth? Everybody goes crazy. Yocheved gave birth to Moshe at the age of 130. 130. She was 40 years older than Sarah. We don't say a word. We don't say one thing. So why in the world do we go on and on and on about Sarah being such a great miracle while Yocheved is not mentioned at all? There were women who gave birth at the age of 7 or 8 throughout Tanakh. Throughout Tanakh, you have Betzal being 13 years old when he becomes in charge. He was born when his mother was 8 years old. It's just, we're talking about crazy miracles. Why aren't they mentioned, says Ramban? Why don't we mention these things? The only Nisim mentioned in the Torah, and this is the Yesod, he says, throughout the Torah, the only Nisim we mention are those that were prophesied about beforehand. If a Navi said, here's what's going to be, and then it happens, then the miracle is mentioned. But nobody says anything beforehand. It's just a crazy miracle that happened. That happened all the time. Says the Ramban, a Nis Nigla is when a Navi gets up and says, here's what's going to happen, and it happens. A Nis Nister is anything in life where something crazy happens. The fact that we're walking around is a nace mister, and so to the Kivshana Ish is a nace mister. But it was in front of 100,000 people. That doesn't mean it was an ace nigla. It was an ace mister because it wasn't prophesied about beforehand. They didn't expect it. It wasn't coming. And that's the reason why Yocheved, no prophet came by and told them anything.
Is that only not, is that in the five books of Moses, or even by the Nevi'im
and Ksuvim? Only Torah. Only Torah. He doesn't say it by Nevi'im and Ksuvim. By Nevi'im and Ksuvim, we see that it's not exactly so. Unless we're missing parts of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, because it could be the Navi was saying, but we didn't see it. So that's what he says. Sarah was prophesied by a Malach. Yocheved was not. As a side note, by the way, Miriam prophesied about Yocheved.
It's a Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Aleph. I don't know why that's not mentioned by the Ramban, and I don't know why the Ramban ignores that. I have no idea. But as a side note, that's a bit of a kasha, because Moshe's birth was prophesied by Miriam. It says, Hecha Nivua Seich was the line that Amram gave to his daughter when he had to throw Moshe Rabbeinu into the river.
The magicians, power of magicians said that he was going to be born.
That what?
Power of magicians said he was going to be born. They knew about it.
Well, they saw something in the stars.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's the same. I mean, there is something to a chachma of astrology, so I don't know if that's the same thing. It could be that it was done through Kokos HaTumah or some other type of way.
The knowledge that there was a femur was known about.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's exactly the same thing. I hear what you're saying, but it's not exactly a nevuah. Either way, regardless, that's called the Nes Nistar. Okay, Eliyahu HaNavi was at Harakano. So if anybody knows this story, it's mentioned in Navi. It's a famous, famous story, the animal of Malav. What happened was, he went on Harakarmel, and what happened was, he challenged the Nevi Habal to a duel. And he said, you're going to have your Mizbech, and I'm going to have my Mizbech. We're both going to bring up Korbanos on each one of our Mizbechos. You get to choose whatever animal, you get to choose which Mizbech you want. You're going to try to do everything you can for the fire to come down. I'm going to do everything I can to bring the fire down. Whichever one is consumed by fire in Shemayim, that's going to be the one that wins. That's what he challenged. He challenged them in front of all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was watching them at Har Carmel. And it was a big shiloh because it was outside the Beis HaMikdash. Remember, Eliyahu HaNavi is around when the Beis HaMikdash was there. Nonetheless, this is outside the Beis HaMikdash. They do it, the Nevi'ah Baal, they go and they do all their crazy practices and they cut themselves and they call out to Shemayim. Nothing works. And Eliyahu HaNavi makes fun of them. Maybe you should call louder. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe you should get around. Then Eliyahu HaNavi douses his whole Mizbeach with water, douses it again, douses it a third time with water, and then says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aneini Hashem Aneini. Answer me, Hashem, answer me. And immediately a huge fire comes down from Shemayim, consumed the entire Korban and the entire Mizbeach, everything brought up to Shemayim, and all the people yelled out loud, Hashem Hu Alokim, Hashem Hu Alokim. Shem is God, Hashem is God. That's the famous Maisa that happens with Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, Eliyahu HaNavi said, Aneini Hashem Aneini, says the Gemara. The reason why he said that is because he said, don't let them think that it was a magic show. Because they might think that it's not real because I didn't prophesy about it beforehand. I didn't tell anyone about it. I didn't say a thing to anyone beforehand of what was going to happen. They saw it happen, but that's called an ace mister, that they hid in miracle, not an ace nigla. So please, Hashem, allow it to be in that way. So here, Eliyahu HaNavi did one of the greatest miracles of all time, showing clearly that God was in charge in front of the Nevi'ah Baal, in front of all of Klal Yisrael, and yet nonetheless, he was afraid that people would think that it was magic because it wasn't prophesied about beforehand. Says Yaakov Avinu, Eliyahu, I know you're going to come along, and I know you're going to be mavatzer about the Mashiach. I know that you're supposed to be around Mashiach. Promise me, and here's the promise, promise me that you're going to make it a nes nigla and not a nes nister. Don't let it be that Mashiach's just going to get up one day and he's going to start doing everything and people are going to be like, oh wow, that's crazy miracles, but it's going to be a nes nister. Prophesy about it beforehand. Get down here, get up and say, this is what's going to happen tomorrow, this is what Mashiach's going to do, and then when Mashiach gets up the next day and he does it, make it a nes nigla. That's what he wanted. He didn't want it to be this stama miracle. He wanted it to be a real miracle, a miracle that's worthy of bringing something into the Torah, of putting it in the Torah itself. He knew that there was going to be upheaval at the time of Mashiach. He knew there was going to be crazy stuff. He wanted no false messiahs, nothing else. If a guy gets up and says, I am Mashiach, if Eliyahu HaNavi didn't get up beforehand, it's not really Mashiach. It's not really Mashiach. That's what Yaakovino was making a promise. As a side note. As a side note. On your Friday night davening by Kabbalah Shabbos. Everybody knows that there's a difference between the two ways of saying the end of one. You go through it and you're like, yeah, it sounds exactly the same. You kind of forget where you are. It depends on how sleepy you are on Friday night. First time it says, Lifnei Hashem Kiva, Kiva Lishvot Aretz. Before God, He comes to judge the land. Yishvot Teva Vatzedek Ve'Amim B'Munah. So He says, Kiva, Kiva. Then later on, it says, Lifnei Hashem Kiva Lishvot Aretz. In front of Hashem, He comes to judge the land. Yishvot Teva Vatzedek Ve'Amim B'Munah. He comes to judge everybody. Ve'Amim B'Munah. One is Be'Emunah. So, Amim B'Munah. The other one is Amim B'Munah. Meresh Yeshiva is a famous verse that he said, he has in one of his farm, Chamdas Veniel. And he brings it down and he says that this is referring to the two ways that Mashiach could come. That Mashiach could come on his own if we're deserving, or he could come with Eliyahu HaNavi being Mavasar if we're not deserving. So if we are the Emunaso, we just have faith, but we don't really deserve it, then it's Kiva, Kiva. Eliyahu HaNavi comes, and then Mashiach comes. But if we deserve it, it's Amin B'mei Sharm, if we're Yashur, and we deserve for Mashiach to come, then it's Ki Vav Lishpot Ha'aretz, that only Mashiach will come to come around. So that goes against what I'm saying over here from Rav Schwab. Rav Schwab is saying that Eliyahu HaNavi has to come beforehand, but I don't know if it's truly against. Because Rav Schwab is saying that this is when people need it, and when people won't get it otherwise. But if Amin B'mei Sharm, we're all good, I don't think anyone's going to have a problem understanding who is the real Mashiach and who's not. I have people like miracles. You see a crazy thing happen. Yeah, 100%. People like that, of course. It should be. Did you know this before I told you this, Rav Schwab?
That Eliyahu
HaNavi has to be there before and in order to prophesy?
I knew that he's supposed to come first, yes.
Yeah, do you know that it's Ma'akev? So that's the idea, meaning it wasn't necessarily Ma'akev. Mashiach came along, and I'm sure Gad Achoza by Shabtai Tzvi went around telling everybody, no guys, that's not the Pshat, this is the Pshat. I'm sure he said something that made everybody understand this was the real Messiah. Obviously, Shabtai Tzvi was not the real guy. We've had other, you know, it wasn't just the Sabbatian sect. I mean, there were other false messiahs that we've had. Forget about Bar Kokhba for right now. We've had other false messiahs throughout our history. But this is the idea. At the end, it's got to be something like this. Now, this whole thing still seems very unclear. If Hashem tells us through a Navi that he's going to come, why would Yaakov need a guarantee that it's going to happen? I mean, we have it through Nevuah, that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come before Mashiach. Why is that? So, the Chidah said it's possible that Eliyahu HaNavi was originally a Malach. This is a little crazy. God called out to the angels and said, Naseh Adam, let us make man. The famous line, right? We're really like Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it, but getting reshus from the Tachtonim, the way that we're supposed to do, Naseh Adam. So Eliyahu HaNavi said to Hashem, if man is so chashuv, if he's so chashuv in your eyes, I want to be Mishamishim. I want to serve man on this land. So Eliyahu HaNavi was allowed to come down in human form to make a huge Kiddush Hashem. That's what happened to Har Carmel, them saying Hashem will come. And it was brought back up to Shrine. He was always a Malach. Always a Malach. And then he came down in a human form and then went back to being a Malach. That's why, by the way, we don't paskin like Eliyahu HaNavi in the Gemara. You know how they say Teku? Teku is Tishvi, Yataritz, Kushiz, Vivayos. That Eliyahu HaNavi will answer up all of them. So the fact is, that's not what Teku means. Teku means let it remain as is. But the cute word is that Tishvi, Yataritz, Kushiz, Vivayos. Let me ask you. All these Amorayim and Tanayim knew Eliyahu. He was around by all their Bati Midrashos. Why didn't they just ask him? Why wouldn't they just ask Tishvi, Yataritz? He's right there. They had him. Why wouldn't they ask all their questions to Eliyahu? The answer is Eliyahu's a Malach. Lo Bashamayim, you can't ask Eliyahu HaNavi. Can't answer your questions. He can't do anything like that. So Eliyahu HaNavi was always a Malach itself. He was brought back up to Shemayim. Hashem promised him he would be an apotropis for Bnei Yisrael forever. He would be the Malach HaBris, the Malach that's there that comes by every birth and he comes to drink our wine on Pesach night. And it's possible that at that time that Eliyahu HaNavi was put in charge, Yaakov went up to him and said to him, I want you to know that I want this to be, said to Eliyahu HaNavi, that it has to be promised that you're going to be the one that's Mevaster to Bnei Yisrael. He triggered it. Yaakov Avinu asked for the Vav, got the Vav, and triggered the Shvuah that allowed the Nevuah to be given over that Eliyahu HaNavi was going to come. Maybe that's the idea behind it, and that was Makar Begula. That's what the Chidah says, making Eliyahu HaNavi come. The whole name takes a lot of work. There's a Rabbi Yaakov over here that tries to ask why in Melachim Beis it's written as Eliyahu. I said before that Eliyahu is spelled the way Eliyahu, except for four places in Melachim Beis at the beginning of Melachim Beis, and then one place by the famous one, the Heshiv Levavos, etc. What's shot in Melachim Beis that it's known in that way? So here it is. You have to know a little bit of history to go all the way through. We know in Pirkei Avos, Yoshua gave the Torah to Pirkei Avos. Moshe gives the Torah to Yoshua. Yoshua to the Zekanim. And the Zekanim to the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im to the Anshei Knesset Gedola. Who are the Zekanim? Who are these Zekanim? So Rabbi Yaakov quotes down, but it's famous, the Machzor Vitri has it, that the Nevi'im are, the Zekanim are the Shoftim. Meaning, Yoshua gave it to Osniel ben Kenaz. Osniel ben Kenaz gave it to Ehud ben Gera. Ehud ben Gera gave it to Shamgar ben Anas. Shamgar ben Anas gave it to Devorah HaNevi'ah. For those who know Navi, the interesting part of this Master Victory is he includes Abimelech in the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael, even though Avimelech was one of the most evil people who seemed to have ever lived, he killed 70 of his brothers. I mean, you can't think of somebody who's more evil than Avimelech. Nonetheless, they are all the way down. It goes all the way down to the Nevi'im. The last Zakein was Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi then taught the Nevi'im. Shmuel HaNavi would have been the end of the Zakein, the beginning of the Nevi'im, and it went down through them. It didn't go through the kings. The kings did not have the time to be able to bring down the Mesorah and go all the way through them. Instead, it went through the prophets who were all the way through. Eliyahu HaNavi was the position of Navi bringing the Mesorah down. It would be like the position of Rosh Yeshiva of the world. He was the guy that everyone went to for the ultimate psak. They used to have this. We don't have it anymore, but there used to be one person who had the ultimate psak, and whenever you needed to know anything, he was the one in charge. Yeah?
The Quantum learned.
They taught the people. They gave them over what they needed to know. But they weren't the ultimate of the highest level. The Quantum Gedolim were obviously huge, but they weren't the ultimate level of the Mesorah going down. That Mesorah was handed down. And that's what it mentions over here. In Tanit of Eliyahu, he tells the Chachamim that he's from the children of Rachel. It's a big question where Eliyahu Navi is. If he's a Shevet Levi, if he's Pinchas, if he comes from Gad, or if he comes from the Bnei Rachel. As it mentions in the Yichus of Binyamin, it says Eliyahu. Without a vav. Here's the pshat. You guys remember what happened to Yoshua ben Nun? When Yoshua ben Nun was given a position of prominence, he was given an extra letter to his name. He no longer was Hoshea. Now he's prominent. Now he becomes Yehoshua. The only other time we mention him as Hoshea is at the end by Parshat Hazinu, where we say, here he is, he's back to being a Talmud, a student of Moshe Rabbeinu. We took away the Yud because he's a student, but otherwise Yoshua was lifted to a position of prominence. Here's a pshat. His name, his whole life, was Eliyahu. That was his real name, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He was always known as Eliyahu. That was his name his entire life. And that's interesting, by the way, that his name was El Aleph Lamed Yah Yud Heh. That was his name his entire life. And then all of a sudden, he became the next Rosh Yeshiva, the next prominent person in charge, the next guy in the line of the Mesorah. At that moment, since he was brought up to such a high position, the Rosh Yeshiva of the world, he was given above. And he was known as Eliyahu. But when he gave that over to Elisha, when he no longer was going to be the Rosh Yeshiva, he's going to not die, but go up to Shemayim in the fiery chariot. When he's leaving the world and giving it over, he goes back to his old name of Eliyahu. So on the Malachim Beis, when he's leaving, and Elisha is going to take over, that's when we take away the Vav, and we turn him back to Eliyahu. And it goes back to Eliyahu instead. We're going to say one more word over here, and we're going to end with this one. This is an unbelievable one over here. Chasam Sofer says that there are 13 letters in the names of the Avos. 13 letters in the name of the Avos. Abraham is 5, Yitzchak is 4, Yaakov is 4. 5 plus 4 plus 4 is 13 altogether. 13 letters in the names of the Imahos. Right? We have Sarah, that's 3, Rivka is 4, Rachel and Leah are both 3 and 3, so 3, 3, 3, and 4 is altogether, again, 13 altogether. We've got 13 altogether. 13 is Echad, 13 plus 13 is 26, referring to the Shem Avayah, that when you put the Avos and the Imahos together, you get the Shem Avayah. That's what it's supposed to refer to. If you would write it with the name Yisrael, you'd be off by one. It wouldn't be 26, it would be 27. Now 27 is also a prominent number. It's the amount of letters that exist in the Torah. 22 regular letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and the 5 end letters. Right? The Chav Sofis, the Mem Sofis, the Nun Sofis, the Pei Sofis, the Tzadi Sofis. Those 5. Minatzvach. There are 27 altogether. And it says like this. Yaakov is a name that's used when Bnei Yisrael are on a lower level. Well, on the level of Amir Ratzim, that's the name that they're known as. They could be Miyachid, Hashem in his name, they're there. But Yisrael is the name used for Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim learn Torah. If you're going to represent Yaakov, the Ami Aratzim of Klal Yisrael, don't know how to learn, then at least they have Shem Avayah. At least they daven. At least they use Yud Kei Vav Kei, so it's 26. If you're going to use Yisrael, it's 27 because they learn Torah, which means that they have the 27 letters of the Torah, and that's 27. The idea is the following. At the end of days, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to bring us back to learn Torah. I'm going to bring the children back to the fathers back to the children. Even the Ami Aratzim, who are so far away from anything, they're going to come back. We hint that to the new name of Yisrael being given. And thus we add that Vav. We hint to it by saying it's Yaakov, but it's Yaakov with a
Vov. Yaakov with a Vov hints to Eliyahu Navi coming and teaching Klal Yisrael, which changes Yaakov's name to Yisrael, which allows Bnei Yisrael to be Talmidei Chachamim. And if they're Talmidei Chachamim, they represent 27, which is the Torah, and that's what's going to happen at the end of days. We say that the extra Vov should be there 5 times to represent what we're going to be in the future, how we're going to be such Talmidei Chachamim learning Torah in the future. Should I go over what we've done? What we did was we mentioned why specifically 5 times do we switch over this letter. We went through why the Vov more than any other letter that we could possibly do. We went into the Gur Aryeh and the Rav Schwab's idea of why this measure exists and why we put it all the way through. The Chidah, understanding who Eliyahu HaNavi was as a Malach and how he came down. The Rav Yaakov going through how his name was changed and what his name really was, that it really was Eliyah. And finally the Chassam Sofer saying that it represents 26 or 27, depending, and that's also the hint of what we're referring to over here. We'll stop it.